The Mars thermal discovery is the kind of science story that seems remote from daily life, but actually tells us something important about how we understand planetary formation, and by extension, Earth's own geology. The technique is called tidal tomography, and it's been applied to Mars for the first time using 16 years of data from NASA's orbiting spacecraft. What it revealed is that Mars's southern interior is hundreds of degrees hotter than its northern interior. That's a dramatic thermal asymmetry for a body roughly half the size of Earth.
The mechanism behind tidal tomography is elegant. The gravity of Mars's moons, primarily Phobos, creates tiny deformations in the planet's surface, like slow, planetary-scale tides. The way those deformations propagate through the interior depends on the viscosity and temperature of the material they are traveling through. Hotter, less viscous material deforms differently than cooler, more rigid material. By measuring those orbital perturbations over 16 years of data, researchers could essentially X-ray the interior without drilling a millimeter into the surface. It's the same class of technique used in seismic tomography on Earth, adapted for a world we can't put seismometers everywhere on.
The North-South dichotomy on Mars's surface has been one of planetary science's enduring mysteries. The northern hemisphere is mostly flat lowland. The southern hemisphere is higher, more heavily cratered, and geologically older. The thermal asymmetry in the interior could be a relic of Mars's early formation, perhaps from a giant impact that redistributed internal heat, or it could indicate that the southern hemisphere has retained more radioactive material that continues to generate heat through decay. Either explanation has implications for how we model planetary differentiation more broadly.
There's also a practical relevance for Mars exploration. If the southern interior is significantly hotter, that changes the thermal environment for any subsurface drilling missions. It could affect where liquid water might conceivably persist in the deep subsurface, which is the primary target for astrobiological investigation. Knowing the thermal map changes where you'd want to look. Now, I want to use the second half of this segment for something I think is genuinely valuable, which is examining the claim we're probably most confident about in today's broadcast and stress testing it honestly.
The what if we're wrong? Exercise, let's do it. The claim I'd pick is the one that has the broadest expert consensus right now, that US chip export controls are successfully constraining China's AI development and that Tencent's admission of computing insufficiency is proof of concept.
That's the claim I'd choose too, and it feels very solid. We have a Chinese company's senior executive publicly confirming that their compute capacity is inadequate. We have Nvidia explicitly forgoing the China market for high-end chips. The narrative writes itself. The controls are working.
So let's poke at it. What would need to be true for this consensus to be wrong? First assumption, that Huawei's Ascend chip program and China's domestic semiconductor development are not progressing fast enough to close the gap. But we don't actually know the current state of Huawei's most advanced production yields. We know they produced the Kirin 9000's chip in 2023, which surprised Western analysts. The assumption that Chinese domestic AI chip development is hopelessly behind is based partly on export control logic. If they can't get EUV lithography machines, they can't make leading-edge chips. But there are architectural paths around leading-edge lithography. Chiplet design, stacked memory, novel interconnect schemes, these are all approaches that can extract more performance from older fabrication nodes.
Second assumption, that Tencent's public admission is evidence of actual constraint rather than strategic communication. A Chinese tech executive saying, "We're severely behind," is unusual. It could be genuine. It could also be a message to regulators, domestic or foreign, aimed at influencing policy. If Tencent is lobbying for relaxed procurement rules, or if the statement is aimed at attracting government support for domestic chip development, the candor serves a purpose beyond transparency. We should be careful about reading it as unambiguous confirmation that the controls are achieving their intended effect.
Third assumption, that constraining compute is sufficient to constrain AI development, given that algorithmic efficiency has been improving faster than hardware constraints are tightening. GPT-4 class capabilities required dramatically less compute to achieve in 2025 than they would have in 2023. If Chinese labs are finding algorithmic paths that require less raw compute, the hardware bottleneck matters less than the policy assumes.
Here's the concrete indicator to watch. If China's leading AI models, from Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent, or academic labs, begin closing the benchmark gap with Western frontier models in the next 6 to 12 months, that's a signal that the compute constraint is less binding than the current consensus suggests. If the gap holds or widens across multiple independent capability benchmarks, the control czar working thesis gains strength. Watch the model release cadence and benchmark performance out of Chinese labs between now and mid-2027.